Hi, everyone, and welcome to Truth Over News. The case of Douglas Mackey is often cited as the prime example of the Biden administration's crackdown on Trump supporters. Mackey is the internet troll who sent out a meme in 2016 that invited Hillary Clinton voters to vote via text message. He was convicted last year, 7 years after the alleged offense, for conspiring to deprive people of their constitutional right to vote, and he was sentenced to 7 months in jail. He's currently awaiting the outcome of his appeal. While it is true that Mackey was arrested right after Biden became president, the real story of his case and why he was arrested right after President Trump left office is far more complex than simply Biden arresting Trump supporters. In truth, Mackey was targeted not just by Democrats, but by Republicans and Democrats working together. It was a swamp co-production. That's the untold story of the case. Douglas Mackey is a 34-year-old financial consultant who used to tweet under the pseudonym Ricky Vaughn. At its peak, his account had around 60,000 followers, which is pretty big but not huge. He was influential, but he was tiny compared to, say, a fake news outlet with millions of viewers. Mackey's account was known for sending out pro-Trump tweets during the 2016 election, including the now infamous meme inviting Hillary Clinton supporters to vote via text message. Mackey's Ricky Vaughn account was suspended by Twitter in October of 2016. Mackey then reappeared under the handle The Ricky Vaughn. That account, too, was subsequently suspended. So far, so good. Just an internet troll who sent out memes. That's what Mackey himself thought, and so he blissfully went on with his life after the 2016 election, having no idea that anyone would be targeting him, especially not Trump's Department of Justice. After all, he was just sending out memes. The first bit of bad news for Mackey came in 2018, when the far-left Huffington Post wrote an article on Mackey's true identity. Now, the ostensible purpose of the Huffington Post's hit piece was to expose that Mackey was a Trump supporter and also a racist and an anti-Semite. Based on screenshots taken off of his suspended accounts, Mackey did send out some very nasty tweets. Ironically, it was a fellow traveler, former congressional candidate from Wisconsin, Paul Neelan, who first shared Mackey's real name after an argument between the two. That appears to be where the Huffington Post got the name from. Just to be clear, we're not trying to defend Mackey's tweets or his character, nor Neelan's. The world is full of unsavory types. What we're doing is looking at why Mackey was prosecuted, both from a First Amendment point of view and from a uniparty or swamp point of view. And this is where timing is so important. While Mackey was arrested shortly after Biden became president, all of the groundwork for that case was done by Trump appointees, or to be fair, given that Trump probably had no idea who these people were, by Republican Party swamp appointees. There was no secret plan by Biden's people to swoop in right after Biden's inauguration and arrest the Hillary Clinton memer. The scheme was cooked up by Trump appointees and executed under the Biden administration for reasons we'll get into in a moment. The case against Mackey is a co-production, which is such an important point because it shows that while the public is steered to think that either Republicans or Democrats are the bad guys, it's often the case that both Republicans and Democrats work together on bad stuff. Just think of the endless war funding or even just generally the endless deficits. But let's get back to Mackey. His legal problems did not start with Biden, but with his unmasking in 2018. That's when Seth Ducharme, the head of the criminal division at the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York, started to take an interest in the matter and in him. Now, Ducharme had worked in that office in a number of positions, so he wasn't a Republican appointee per se, but his promotion to the head of the criminal division, which is how he was able to pursue Mackey, was at the behest of Trump appointee Richard Donahue. Donahue became Associate Deputy Attorney General and later Deputy Attorney General, while Ducharme became Principal Associate Attorney General and later U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. The New York Times declared at the time that Ducharme's star had risen under Trump. So while Trump probably had little idea who these people were or what they were getting up to, the perception was that they were his appointees and that they were enacting his policies. We see this over and over again, where a bunch of careerists, social climbers, and country club Republicans are just members of the Uniparty who are made to look like Trump loyalists. While blaming Biden or Democrats for what happened to Mackey might make Republican voters feel good, it does not reflect the truth. In fact, it diverts attention from the truth, which is that Republicans are just as much to blame as Democrats. This is what Seth Ducharme, the supposed rising star in Trump's Department of Justice, had to say after he had Mackey arrested in January of 2021. There is no place in public discourse for lies and misinformation to defraud citizens of their right to vote. With Mackey's arrest, we serve notice that those who would subvert the democratic process in this manner cannot rely on the cloak of internet anonymity to evade responsibility for their crimes. They will be investigated, caught, and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It's almost unfathomable that someone who rose through the ranks under Trump with the help of Attorneys General Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr would say such a thing. Notably, Ducharme also insisted on charging Mackey in New York, even though Mackey lived in Florida. Of course, Ducharme was well aware that a New York jury would be much, much more inclined to convict a MAGA troll than a Florida jury. In fact, under the precedent set by the Mackey case, any so-called social media crimes could be charged anywhere in the United States. That's because the judge in the Mackey case ruled that if tweets were viewed in New York, the author could be charged in New York. This is not the sort of lawfare we're supposed to expect from a supposed Republican appointee. Now, the timing is very important here because Ducharme, despite supposedly belonging to the Trump administration, delayed Mackey's arrest just long enough until Trump was gone. And as soon as Trump was no longer in the White House, Ducharme pounced, thus depriving Trump of the opportunity to pardon Mackey and to fire Ducharme. The case is a perfect illustration of how the swamp works. Douglas Mackey is not a Democrat victim, he's a swamp victim. That is the story that has not been told. And just in case all that wasn't bad enough, guess what else Ducharme did at Bill Barr's behest? In 2019, he was directed by Bill Barr to join the John Durham investigation into the origin of Russiagate. Supposedly, Ducharme was there to help Durham. But it appears that the real purpose of placing Ducharme on Team Durham was to sabotage that investigation. No wonder Durham failed so abysmally to get to the bottom of Russiagate. How is it possible that the guy who went after Douglas Mackey for sending a meme is the same guy who was chaperoning the Durham investigation? It sounds like a bad movie script, and yet that is exactly what happened. That's the swamp. Now, with the swamp side of the story told, let's turn our attention to the First Amendment side of the story, because that too has not been fully told. As noted, Mackey has said a lot of disagreeable stuff. But that is not a crime. Saying disagreeable or even toxic stuff is what the First Amendment is for. So if that is what the First Amendment is for, how is it even possible that Mackey was charged for sending that tweet that urged Hillary Clinton voters to vote by text message? How is that a crime, and why, as a lot of people have asked, was Hillary Clinton supporting Christina Wong not charged for sending a very similar tweet? The short answer is because she's a Hillary Clinton supporter. That said, there are some factual differences which made Mackey vulnerable. The swamp will target weakness, and Mackey was not as careful as Wong. The main difference is that Mackey included a phone number, whereas Wong did not. Now, you might argue that that is a distinction without a difference, and that no one with a functioning brain should have taken either of the two tweets seriously. And you'd be right. But legally speaking, it made all the difference, since Ducharme could claim that, according to phone company records, people actually texted the number that was given by Mackey, whereas no one texted in the case of Wong. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but that's the legal argument as to why Wong was not charged. The Ducharme investigation went so over the top that the FBI actually sent teams of agents out there to try and find someone, anyone, who texted the number given by Mackey and thought that it was a real vote. They couldn't find such a person. In other words, despite expending vast amounts of money and manpower, the swamp could not find a single supposed victim of Mackey's tweet. Not one. And this brings us to the next outrageous aspect of this case, which is that Mackey was charged under the Enforcement Act of 1870, which forbids conspiring to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in the free exercise of a constitutional right. That 1870 law was written with the specific purpose of trying to stop the Ku Klux Klan from preventing Black Americans from voting. They didn't have internet memes in mind, but physical threats of intimidation. Before Ducharme twisted the meaning and purpose of that law, no one had ever been charged under that law with false speech to make someone not vote. And if that wasn't bad enough, someone else took a page out of Ducharme's novel interpretation of a 150-year-old KKK law. And that someone would be Jack Smith, the special counsel who is pursuing Trump. It's hard to believe, but Trump was charged last year under the same law as Mackey for allegedly trying to stop people's votes from being counted. It's very obvious to anyone with a functioning brain where this would lead, if there were real Republicans instead of a uniparty swamp. Imagine Ducharme's and Smith's novel legal theories being used against Democrats. For instance, every one of the 51 signatories of the phony Hunter Biden laptop letter, the one that falsely claimed that the laptop was a Russian plot, is at least equally as guilty as Douglas Mackey. All those people, which include five former CIA directors, injured their fellow Americans in their constitutional right to freely vote. What is more, unlike in the Mackey case, we can prove that the lies told by the 51 former intelligence officials had a direct impact on the outcome of the election. Polls conducted immediately after the 2020 election showed that Biden would have lost had voters not been lied to about the laptop. In Mackey's case, not one single victim was identified, and there's no evidence that his actions changed a single vote. Or take Twitter or Facebook, who censored the laptop story. That also injured voters. Why weren't they charged? Or the media's lies in general about Trump. Under Ducharme's theory and Smith's theory, those lies injured voters. We could go on and on. And this closes the circle between the swamp part of the story and the First Amendment part of the story. If there truly was a Republican side and a Democrat side, as opposed to the uniparty, then none of this would be happening. And that includes both the charges against Mackey and against Trump. Because the other side would know that as soon as there was a change in White House leadership, they'd be the ones being targeted. In fact, that's the only way to fix the lawfare problem. Imagine charging the 51 intelligence officials with what Mackey was charged with, and charging them in rural Texas or in Alabama or in West Virginia. Do that, and the lawfare would immediately stop. Thanks for joining us in today's episode of Truth Over News.